You're listening to VBS Radio. I'm your host, Sherry Edwards, for this hour of Sound Health. That wonderful music was Shaman's Fire by Jonathan Goldman from his CD, Chakra Chants. Jonathan is a sound healer and a pioneer in the field of harmonics and many, many other things. We've known each other for about 20 years. He's our guest today, and we'll be with him in a moment just after two announcements. The first announcement is about our new program called Nano Voice. We know that your voice reveals information about you, and so we've created this computer program that'll give you information about your inner self using your own vocal profile. The program is called Nano Voice, N-A-N-O Voice, and it's our free gift to you. Yeah, people find that hard to believe, but it's absolutely free, including the manual. It's downloadable. We don't ask that you email us your address or your phone or anything else. It's absolutely free, no strings attached. I have written for years that health, anyone who controls health, controls the people. And so this is just another tool to allow you to have dominion over your own life. So go to nanovoice, N-A-N-O, voice, one word, .org, and download your copy of the program and the manual, and there's a press release there if you want that. The idea behind this giveaway is to convince you of the fact that your voice reveals information about you. Because this program is not likely to tell you anything you don't know about yourself, but it will tell you things about other people and things you want to know about yourself that you want insight into. I'll tell you about events going on in your life, how you feel about things, and if the direction that you're choosing is bringing you harmony and balance into your vocal print. We think this is a great proposition, and we hope you want to learn more after you learn how to use this little program. You know, here at the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, we have created a monster. We know information about sound and sound healing, and a lot of people want to hear about it, and we want to share that information, but at the same time, people then want to come here and be seen as clients, and we just don't have enough people trained. So we're setting up some free classes, and if you'd like to join us and be part of the team to bring bioacoustics and vocal profiling to the planet, you can sign up with us at CLASS at vocalprofiling.com, or you can call us at 740-698-9119. We're in Ohio, so that's Eastern Time. One of our current projects that we're doing here along these same lines is about weight management. We call it BioDiet. We have lots of people on the program now, most of who've lost over 50 pounds, including me. I've lost 52 pounds. I feel so much better. And we're looking at the neurotransmitters through your vocal print that control weight, like norepinephrine and dopamine and serotonin. And we do it all through your voice. So if you'd like to see a little more about that project and Kirsty Alley's vocal profile about her weight issues, you can go to NutraSounds.com, NutraSounds.com. At the beginning of the show, we played music Shaman's Fire by Jonathan Goldman. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Sherry, it's a real pleasure to be here with you. And before we go any further, I just want to applaud the work that I just heard you talking about in terms of having a free download of the information on my vocal profiling, because we do something similar, perhaps we can talk about, in terms of making some stuff free that therefore people can get and utilize to enhance either their own self-healing, or I'm really focused these days on planetary healing, but I think that it's really just such a wonderful thing, so many thanks for that.
Well, I think we already have links on our site to your stuff. Can we put the free link on there too?
Why not?
And I'll have Heather send this free nano link to you guys.
Great, cool.
I played Shaman's Fire, Jonathan, because I consider you a shaman. Do you?
really find it difficult to put a name on what I do. I suppose that's part of it. What I will tell you, which is kind of funny, is that as we were listening to that, I thought, gee, this sounds familiar. I wonder if that's me or someone copying me, because, you know, I've got over 20-some-odd albums that have all sorts of sounds, and sometimes I hear things that are somebody either sampling me and then they like claimed it themselves. So I was really glad that I had done it, because I liked it. I thought it was pretty interesting. I'm sure you know what it feels like to have people take your work and claim it as their own.
It is frustrating, aggravating, and honoring all at the same time to go do a lecture, you know, on the circuit, and then you go back next year and there's two or three people there giving your lecture from last year. And you find that too. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think the most hilarious thing that ever happened to me was my my wife Andy and I were on the island of Oahu, and I had just created this recording called The Lost Chord, which was the follow-up to Chakra Chant, so we just listened to. And this fellow had actually rented this wonderful church with these incredible acoustics, and this recording was pretty interesting. It was all based upon the phi ratio, and it goes up and down the chakras, and the tree of life, and at the time, was I still consider it to be, shall we say, one of the more powerful sonic macabres on the planet. But anyway, we did this whole event on the Lost Chord. And then I went off to teach on a couple of other islands in the Hawaii. I think I was in Maui, and perhaps I might have gone to Kauai, and then we went back to Oahu. And there was somebody doing a Lost Chord workshop, which was verbatim. They had taken the information about the CD that I had done and that we had done as a listening experience, and literally, you know, put their name over it. And I was just floored. As I say, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, but at the same time, I was just literally flabbergasted in a humorous way. I remember I was having a cup of tea with my wife Andy, saw this flyer and went, my goodness gracious, isn't the universe interesting, you know?
Did you go talk to the guy?
No, I just let it go, because a lot of times it just, for me, it becomes too much. There's so many things to do that it just becomes too difficult for me to try and educate every person on the ethics and integrity of not even sound healing, just of this planet. I mean, Lord, it's you and I probably I'm jumping around here, but I have a brand new book called The Seven Secrets of Sound Healing. And in the one of the chapters are 12 different modalities of sound healing. And one of them is, I don't remember the actual name that I gave it, but it basically is vocal profiling. And I remember I put you as being, the pioneer in this. Because, I think that the people who really bring forth this information need to be honored. And, a lot of times in the field of sound, when somebody discovers something, they think, oh, this is brand new. They don't know. I mean, we've both been, doing this work for quite a while. And I do this one lecture that talks about sound healing, and it's a little PowerPoint, and it talks about all the ingredients that are needed to really be the ultimate sound healer. Nobody really can be the ultimate sound healer, because that would be, you'd have to be a doctor, a lawyer, and an Indian chief, a shaman, and a sociologist, and all this other stuff. But that's okay, but the idea that sound healing begins whenever somebody finds out about it, and therefore they don't know about the sort of rich history of the last 10, 20, 30 years that has really evolved into where things are currently at. Okay, I've said enough. I'll let you talk. Excuse me.
We're going to talk about your book. We're going to talk about lots of things, but I want people to also know you. And no, I don't believe anything happens in the universe that isn't supposed to, because we're all one unit called God, and we allow things to happen. And, a couple of things going on with me, like finding a flyer, and I just went to the person and I said, I really would like it if you do this right. You want to come to class? And we did it that way. And, for ages I have held this grudge against a man who took a form of mine that's my logo that I took to him originally and said, can you make this for me? And he said, you know, it was so expensive. He said like $300 or something. And then he put it in his catalog. And I have held this grudge against him for years until I was talking to a friend who happened to be interviewing him on her radio show. And she said, you know, Sherry, what this man has done for you is to take your image and your logo to thousands of people. You should thank him.
Yeah, that's right.
And then when I thought about it that way, you know, the grudge just melted away because that form has my energy. It comes with my business, and he's spreading the word. And I really should just send him a thank you card.
Well, probably that would be an amazingly compassionate thing to do, and I think if we could all send thank you cards to the people who may have consciously or unconsciously done us wrong, so to speak, that would really be assisting not only our personal vibrations, but the vibrations of the whole planet.
I think so, and I think these people end up punishing themselves.
Well, you know, I think it's just also a matter of integrity. You know, it'd be really nice if people on this planet, all the people in all the different places, could be working in a place of integrity. In fact, one of the things that I did, you know, I was talking about this presentation that I did on creating harmony in the world of sound healing. I've done it a couple of times. And one of the parts of it is called the Seven C's of Conscious Sound Healing. I actually have an excerpt of that on YouTube, but, you know, because I thought it was so important that I, you know, I had that put up there. But the whole idea of basically cooperating together, being compassionate together, working together in community and all this stuff. And that these are things that not only go for the sound healing aspect, but for the global aspect as well. You know, as soon as we get into competition with each other, boy, you know, then we get into a whole scarcity consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and a whole consciousness that there isn't enough. And by gosh and by golly, you know what? We have the consciousness, we'll create it.
Now, Bruce Lipton says of a cell that it can't grow while it's fighting. I think the same thing is true of our entire body that's made of cells. Do you think us old folks that's been in this a long time need to hold that? Because I've noticed that a lot of the people who are taking this stuff and ripping our names off, they're really young.
You know, they are really young, and there's a lot of not understanding about it. And sometimes it's just unconscious, not if you like, crediting. For example, two friends of mine just released a lovely album where they use my system of chakra vowel resonance. And my wife didn't even know that I actually had created this system. It was a variant of other systems, but I said, no, this first appeared in 1992 in my book, Healing Sounds. It's on this page. And I said, it was different than the other. It's so different that I, in this book, called it Goldman's System of Chakra Vowel Resonance. And she said, so you created it? I said, yeah. She said, well, do these people that used it know that? I said, I don't know. And on a level, I'm really, really honored that it's become so popular that people just think it is.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's very honoring to you. Give people your website so they can get in touch with some of your stuff.
Okay, thanks. It's, well, do we have to say www anymore?
No.
Okay, so it's healingsounds.com. That sounds with an S at the end. I always say that because, I mean, basically, if you go to healingsound.com, or at least when I used to, it would take you to some Indian guru, who I'm sure is an extreme, extraordinary being, but it's not me. So wearhealingsounds.com. Now, Sherry, I used to give out, and if you go to www.jonathangoldman.com, it'll take you to the same place. But most people, it's so interesting. When I was first growing up, and my name is spelled J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, it is Hebrew for gift of God, and that's the only way it was spelled. But by gosh, within about the last 10 or 15 years, this name has gone through more transmutations of how it is to be spelled to, I think it is the most name in the world.
Try having Sherry with an A.
Yeah, the way I know, there you go. Okay,
yeah.
It's another one.
You were talking about the seven C's of conscious healing. Do you have a cut of that that we could listen to?
No, that, but it is actually, I guess, either, I don't know how, you know, I'm not much on YouTube. I had somebody put it up for me, but it's on the YouTube thing, and we, you know, I've got some other stuff on there as well. So either, I guess if you put in either Jonathan Goldman or Seven C's of Sound Healing, it's once again, it's actually part of a lecture that I was doing, because I thought it was just so important, because the more and more this field of sound begins to get into mainstream, the more not only territorial people get, but the more they, as I said, seem to forget where things came from. And there's, you know, there are things going on that, you know, I've been in this field about 30 years, and there are things going on currently that I really hadn't envisioned. You know, because I thought we'd all just be together in one wonderful community of people laughing and making sound together and going, isn't this great? And Sherry, you know, in the very early 1980s when I founded the Sound Healers Association, that's exactly what occurred. Everybody was just so joyous and so overwhelmed to find other people who were working in the field of sound, that it was like, oh my gosh, my brother, my sister, whatever, that we all just, you know, we were in a state of curiosity, we were in a state of just, that was one of the C's I didn't ask, curious, C, curiosity, maybe it should be the eight C's, but then, but anyway, we were in a state of curiosity, and also just, you know, cooperation in terms of, my goodness gracious. But then things began to shift and change, and indeed, as we were saying, in the mainstream, you know, people are doing this, and some of the younger folks, and I love the fact that folks who are, you know, I mean, you and I probably are approaching our 60s, shall we say, so we're, you know, we're still children at hearts, but, and our bodies, I'm sure, are doing wonderfully because of our work with sound, but chronologically, we may not be 25 or 30, and there's certainly a lot of folks in that area who are, you know, very, very interested in this field, but I really do hope that, number one, they don't try to reinvent the wheel or reclaim the wheel, and number three, that they do a little bit of, shall we say, research, just finding out what was, because you might, you know, they might find out that there was stuff going on in the 80s and 90s, for example, that people have forgotten already.
Well, I think these guys just don't have the idea that there's enough sick people to go around.
Yeah, right.
There's never a want for people that need help with sound. Jonathan.
Wait, I'm just going to interrupt for a second. I have a nephew who is a filmmaker out in Hollywood, and he's a lovely high consciousness being. And he has said to me, you know, Uncle Jonathan, I just can't see the competition out here, because even if you had the same script and even if you had the same actors, if you have two different directors, you're going to come out with two very different movies. And that's just a metaphor for the fact that nobody, I'm sure that very few people who take your work are able to, you know, even if you train them personally, they're going to do the work exactly the same as you.
Well, that's why we try to computerize it, so that it could be punch the buttons and then they could add their own stuff to it.
Yeah.
I want to talk a minute about intellectual property rights.
All right. Here we go.
It's useless to go to court, number one, for anything that we're doing. And we took that route once and got hit with music and frequencies and notes are all here. There's nothing new. You can't copyright anything that deals with notes, because notes are invented already. And some of the stuff that you have written is so unusual, the way the notes and the harmonics are put together, that, you know, it's just poppycock what they're saying in court, that you cannot create anything new with music and it all belongs to the people. So I see that's where you work. All of it belongs to the people, and you're just going to keep creating.
So right, I do want to share a kind of funny story with you, if I may.
Okay.
You know, I do a lot of things from recording to working with, you know, I like to teach people how to use their voice in a different way than you do, you know, in terms of resonating their body, you know, for toning and stuff like that. It comes from the same source and is all the same thing, but we all have just different approaches. And one of the things I also like to do, sometimes different either frequencies or different specific intervals or ratios come to me and I have them created as tuning forks. And sometimes these tuning forks are really, really neat sounding, and sometimes they're not. But at one point, about a year ago, a friend of mine was writing a book. I'm not going to mention who it was, but I guess this may turn out. And my friend James Twyman, who has written a book called The Moses Code, was asking me if there was a relationship between the I am that I am and the sound. And I told him that there was something called Gamatria or Gematria, which is Hebrew numerology, and that I would look this up at home. And I began to investigate this, and indeed I found a relationship, and then working with our old friend, the Law of Harmonics, I created two tuning forks that bore this relationship. Now, as you know, just because things are numerical in value doesn't mean that they're going to sound good together, but I had these tuning forks made, and when I hit them together, they created the interval of the perfect fourth, which, boy, I don't have them here right now, but it's just a beautiful sound, and it happens to be the interval that Gregorian monks sing in. And I was like, my goodness gracious, this is fairly, shall we say, coincidental, and then I'm going wink, wink, like, yeah, really. And I had tuning forks created in this ratio with these specific frequencies based upon the numerology of the the I am that I am. And this came out initially first in a book called The Moses Code, and where I gave the work that I did. And then we had tuning forks made, but from the time that the book came out to the time that I actually manufactured the tuning forks, which was probably 2 months, they started appearing on a couple of different websites. The I am that I am tuning fork. People didn't understand that I was actually working with a ratio using two tuning forks, but also, and it said coming soon, and I knew that they were literally going to, as soon as we put them up on our website, they were basically going to cut and paste and do it. So for the first time ever, and this is just simply, you know, I have nothing wrong with, I love to give things out to the people and to the world, but I just thought, okay, you know, what I did with these tuning forks is one side says, for example, I am, and the other side says EEA, not giving out the frequencies, because I figured if somebody is going to try to do this work, then they just, they should do a little homework themselves and maybe get a little angelic guidance themselves.
That was so polite.
So anyway, you know, here we are talking about intellectual property and private, just because we've both been through this, but folks, our real purpose is really into hearing the people, hearing the planet, and using sound to really create and, you know, shift the, you know, current reality base, the current paradigm, so that we're in a state of wellness, we're in a state of health, we're in a state of light and love through sound. Wouldn't you agree?
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. You know, I often tell people who come to this class that since we do it with computers, this is just a lazy way to do it. They really don't need me at all. If they could do it with their voice, that's the best way right there.
Well, there are just so many different approaches and ways to do it, and different, you know, it's like different modalities work for different people. And, I mean, I remember one time somebody said that there are 5 different ways of knowing. Remember, one was kinesthetic, I guess that's touch.
Mm-hmm.
Probably another one was visual, that would be seeing. Another one would be hearing. Another one would be smelling. I mean, so in other words, and there are probably 7, you know, knowing the number, the power of the number 7, there are probably 7 different ways of knowing. And for sure, for a lot of people, one way works better than the others. And we just need to honor that so we can really share our awareness of how sound can be used to really create shift and bring health, harmony, and balance to ourselves.
Again, back to there's enough people, enough sick people to go around, and we're just an option. We can't be an option to everyone.
Right, and you know, when we're talking about sickness, I always like to use the word lack of balance, just, you know, just for myself, but you know, there's also not only physiological imbalances, but boy, there seem to be a whole lot of emotional body imbalances going on these days too, you know?
And I think there's a lack of logic. We were going to do a course in Phoenix, Arizona, and the practitioner there did everything he could do to possibly stop us. And found that I just said, Robert, what is the point? Why don't you want us to do a course here? He said, I want to be the only practitioner here. I said, there are millions of people in Phoenix. You couldn't walk by them in your lifetime, much less work with them with sound. And at that moment, he stepped off a curb and broke his ankle.
Well, my goodness gracious. Well, you know.
There's no logic in that. Why would you want a million people lined up to see you? You'd just be exhausted.
Well, I mean, for sure about that, and, you know, yeah, I mean, there's certainly more than, shall we say, enough work to go around, and, you know, my book, Seven Secrets of Sound Healing, the last chapter has to do with we can change the world with our sound. And this is, I want to talk a little bit about, because you were talking a little bit about your free vocal profiling download, which is wonderful. And, you know, I was basically guided probably 5 years ago to create, if you like, the world's first cyberspace virtual sacred sound temple where people could go online and basically go and they could sound together with people throughout the planet in order to basically project the energy of healing for the planet. And by that, there would be different sound chambers, and we would be projecting our consciousness with sound, and sound amplifies consciousness to affect the field of the planet, if you like, raising it so that humans start being nicer to each other. And it was interesting. I met with somebody who was really an entrepreneur, and I explained this information to them, and it was just, it didn't resonate because I wanted to make it free to everybody.
Well, can people do it now?
Yeah, and it's like, it's www, I guess I'm encoded into saying that, templeofsacredsound.org. Templeofsacredsound.org, and it's really a great thing. Where you go on there 24/7, and you know, I don't even ask for people's email addresses.
Templeofsacredsounds.org?
Yeah, okay. And you know, just people go in. There are three different right now sacred sound temples. One has the Ah sound, one has the Om sound, and one has the U sound. And you know, it's a sound of like thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, plus these great videos that are going on in conjunction that sort of align up, so they help sort of empower you. You know, you have the visuals, then you're making the sound, and before you enter, you just have to go through, you have to read a little information that says, okay, begin to sit quietly so that your focus of attention is basically, when you're making the sound, to assist the planet in the process that I call global harmonization. Because, Sherry, I'm, you know, just for myself, I am more and more, if you like, aware, finding verification and validation that, for me at least, the way to shift and change consciousness on the planet is through intentionalized, focused sound. And if we can basically change the consciousness of the planet, then we can perhaps really begin to create miracles. And all the stuff that's going on now that seems to be leading to a fast and furious decline in our civilization can be avoided. Does this make any sense?
It does. I want to make sure that I have this because I want to put it on our site. Temple of Sacred Sounds, plural.
No, sound, period. Sound, not plural. This one is sound.org.
Okay.
But, I got all these other names, including, I think it's even Sacred Sound Temple and stuff like that, but that's, it's Temple of Sacred Sound is what we call it. Because
okay.
it's one temple with three toning chambers right now.
Okay, so people would sit in front of their computer.
Yeah.
They'd put this in as an address. Do they need a microphone to do this?
No, but I'll tell you, it's really cool. If you can put in, a microphone, then you can actually sound in the chamber along with all the other sounds and headphones. So it becomes like going into a virtual king's chamber or the Taj Mahal or something. It's really cool that way.
I know you've traveled to Egypt and done things and sounding and all that. Do you have any of your CDs that have that on it?
No. Gosh, no, I don't. For me, and this is going to sound like an interesting phenomena, but usually when I create, I like to really work not only with the energy, the frequency, the mantra, whatnot, but also the intentionality. So if I'm doing a recording, I'll first sort of set the field within the recording studio so that it's sacred. And then hopefully when the whole project is finally completed, and sometimes even when it's, you know, been actually produced, I will have the master CD sitting in the middle of a crystal grid formation, which would be an interdimensional, generating field, so that it is really just encoded with the highest energies of light and love and sound. So I think, of course, one way would be to, of course, go to the King's Chamber, have a microphone, have all these things occur, but this is probably the second best. And I've certainly heard stories of people who went into the King's Chamber with all this great equipment, and they'd get in there, and, you know, they'd be recording some incredible stuff, and then they'd go outside, and they'd listen to it, and it was like blank. And I've had that happen myself, so, you know, it's an interesting phenomena.
Well, there's several things I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about how people can work with you. I want to talk about your book. So let's start simply. Are you training now? That's great. But how can they get your training? How can they get in touch with you? Do you do private sessions?
Well, okay. Those are all great questions. And when you were saying, you know, there's more than enough people around, well, there certainly is. And I, number one, decided several years ago, probably close to a couple of score, that's about 20, close to 20 years ago, yeah, I guess it would have been around 1988, that I simply couldn't be a practitioner in the field of sound as well as being a musician, a writer, and a recording artist, and a teacher. So what I like to say is that I train, or my wife likes to say that I train the teachers, so to speak. And I don't do this very, very frequently. Once a year, for example, we have a Healing Sounds Intensive that takes place in Loveland, Colorado. What a beautiful name. Loveland, Colorado, at a place called Sunrise Ranch, which is actually one of the oldest intentional communities in the United States. It's incredible. Sherry, have you ever been to Sedona?
Yes, and I've been to the ranch you're talking about.
Of course you have. I remember seeing you.
and getting there is gorgeous.
Yes, it is. It is. It's wonderful. It's like, I think that, you know, the people who created Sunrise Ranch were just very, very, shall we say, consciously high people who used a combination of science with the latest of, you know, whatever you call it, horticulture, agriculture techniques, as well as different consciousness techniques, so that you go from sort of a dry, barren land, and you begin to get a little higher and higher, and all of a sudden it looks like Sedona with these red rocks, and it becomes this whole lush area.
And the stream by it, the sounds coming from that stream, it's incredible. If people wanted to join you for this, how could that happen?
They can't do it this year. It's happening next week. But if they go to our website, which is I have three different websites, all involved with three different projects. So if they go to the Healing Sounds with an S at the end, .com website, and they could probably begin to register for next year, because we always sell out. It's a 10-day training, and it's just a wonderful, remarkable experience, and that's one of the ways that they could do it. And I've begun also to start doing and focus on online courses, which I think are going to be also a really wonderful way of training people in the future, Now, of course, it's really, really interesting because ultimately you would like to have somebody directly in front of you when they're making sound, just to, you know, hear their personal energy, you know, their sound, to read their energy field, which I know you do all these different things, but trying to create, and I have been successfully creating a couple of different of these online courses, and actually we have one which is starting in September through a place called the Daily Ohm, and it's an online course which thus far they haven't given a name to, but I've been, you know, working diligently on it. It's been really actually a much huger endeavor than I thought, but it basically is going to teach people how to if you like, experience self-created resonance, i.e. that's using their own voice to resonate their chakras and their parts of the body.
Your Daily Ohm is a great name.
Yeah, that's actually the name of this very, very, very popular website. And they approached me to do this, and I said, well, okay, that sounds good. Not having a clue how much work it was going to be. Turns out, you know, that just about done with it. But it's become about as much work as writing a new book, as well as doing an instructional CD to go along with that. Which is, you know, for me, I'm very much of a perfectionist, so I don't just like, you know, I do a write and then I do a rewrite and then I do a rewrite of the rewrite and then it gets edited. But you know, for example, the Seven Secrets of Sound Healing, which is for people who are, from my perspective, interested in just how sound can be used as a healing modality. I wrote this. It's been published now probably about 3 months. It's really doing very, very well. I wrote it, as I think I mentioned to you, for the mainstream as a just means of people beginning to understand the power of sound and some of the different principles inherent in why sound heals. And then, you know, it's you know, it is, if you like, also in each and every chapter, I'd like to have included just a little piece of information.